Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. But there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 34 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, well, you know what that makes you. That makes you a highly intelligent individual. One of the people that a guy like Pierce Howard would admire, because it means you have a real brain power if you're a regular listener to this show. Pierce Howard is our guest, folks, and our good friend, longtime member of our Brain Trust, the author of The Owner's Manual for the Brain. And the one I have in front of me is the third edition. Pierce, is that the new one?
Yes, it came out in April.
Right. I've got the new one. I thought I did. I'm glad to know I have the brand new copy. Welcome back, Pierce.
Thank you. Pleasure to be with you.
Dr. Pierce Howard, by the way. Pierce, and folks, Pierce didn't know I was going to ask him this question. I'm going to drop a surprise question on you. You came here to talk to us today about how to make our brains work better. Have you put any thought into the brain, the way the brain works of a terrorist? Have you thought about what makes someone be the way someone hate other people more than they love their own life, or they hate other ideas more than they love innocent people, or maybe they even their own children? What kind of a brain comes up with those kinds of notions, Pierce?
Well, you're asking what used to be called the $64,000 question. There have been lots of theories that have been proposed, and yes, I have taken a look at it. In fact, there's a whole new chapter in this edition of the book called Violence, Aggression, Violence and Aggression, Running Hot and Cold in a Global Society. And one of the theories is that there are two issues. What makes an individual become a terrorist? And how does terrorism sustain itself? One of the problems today is that terrorism has become an institution.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the church. It's just, you know, they're bringing up children from a very early age.
And it's franchising.
And so that's one of the major issues today. I mean, what do you do with any fundamentalist group that feels so righteous that, you know, they're right and everybody else is wrong? So, it's any terrorist group, whether it's in Tokyo in the subway system or British Muslims or whomever, there are little institutions of terrorism. I mean, in Colorado, Oklahoma City bomber. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're all over the world. And one of the things that these people feel is disenfranchised. It is something very similar to the terrorist and the violent aggressive criminal. The mind of the violent aggressive criminal appears to be figuring out how to compensate for the shame that centers around being unable to provide for one's family.
Mm-hmm.
And Thomas Gilligan, who's a Massachusetts psychiatrist, argues that shame is the basic launching pad for criminal violence.
Hmm.
And I can't get the medical help I need, I can't get the job I need, I can't get this, I can't get that. And as a result, I can't get any respect, and I feel a sense of shame. And the only way that I know to do it is to commit a violent act. That'll get me some respect of some kind. It'll get me some attention, some recognition. You know. Now,
well, in a previous interview last hour, I talked to Stephen Spinelli, who's with Babson College, and they've done a lot of international work on entrepreneurship. And what I said to him was, in the short run, we've got to find these people and put them out of business. But in the long run, we've got to deal with their children and their grandchildren and the babies that haven't been conceived yet. And one of the things I said was, we've got to show them that it's better to start a business than it is to hate somebody and try to kill them. And we got to get that built into the culture. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. The sources of shame are health care and jobs. I mean, that's a no-brainer. I mean, we can do that. Mm-hmm. We can help address those issues. But those are two of the major sources, health care, jobs, and the kind of support that comes from the extended family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder how many small business owners have left their business to go become a terrorist. You know, I'd like to know I'd like to see the research on that. I bet none. By the way, 22. We're going to be right back with our good friend Pierce Howard. We're going to talk about your brain next. Stay with us.
Sunshine came softly through my window today.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I want to remind you, next week I'll be in Cleveland, Wednesday through Friday. So Cleveland, those of you who are listening in that part of the world, I'm going to be coming to see you. I'm going to be in downtown Cleveland with the American Chamber of Commerce executives. Looking forward to that. Pierce Howard is our guest and our good friend and the author of The Owner's Manual for the Brain. Pierce, what do we need to know today about how to make our own brains work better?
Well, we could probably do something very simple, like sort of I understand you did your top 10 in the last half an hour.
Right.
And we could do kind of our top 10 of taking care of your brain. Along that line, let's start with the big two. The big two are coming out to be the best prevention of Alzheimer's that we've seen in the research to date. And you might not guess what those two are.
I don't know.
Well, one is continual learning.
Mm-hmm.
Never stop learning, whether it's learning a new language, a new skill, a new body of knowledge, a new hobby, a new sport, a new set of friends even. Keep learning. Don't settle for what you've already accomplished.
Do you know what Cato said about that?
Tell me about that.
The great ancient Roman statesman Cato, lived probably 2,500 years or so ago, decided to learn Greek at like 80 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody said, what are you doing learning a language like that at your age? He said, this is the youngest age I have.
Yeah. Well, you know, the researchers have been wondering, why is it that continual learning helps prevent Alzheimer's? And the explanation is that it creates, but with all of this learning, you create new neural connections.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're saying is it creates redundancy. Because what happens in the nun study, for example, all these elderly nuns, the ones who continued to learn and that were teaching school and had hobbies and were learning to speak Spanish and all this other kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
when they died and they did autopsies, guess what they found in their brains?
What?
They found all the plaques and tangles associated with stage 2 and stage 3 Alzheimer's.
Huh.
But none of the behavioral symptoms were there when they died.
They fought it off.
And they fought it off, and they had this what we call a neural redundancy. They had mm-hmm. a surplus of connectivity that served them when their brains were...
So are you saying that the brain is auto-regenerative?
Yes.
It's auto-regenerative.
And that's one of the things that we discovered just in the last 5 years. Now, the second thing that you wouldn't think of that helps prevent Alzheimer's in a significant way is a strong social network. You've read the research recently about increased social isolation
mm-hmm.
in the United States,
right? Because of
where
technology.
Over the last 20 years, people report a decrease of like 30 or 40% in the number of close friends they have,
right?
Go to and talk about something deeply personal.
Right.
Well, the loss of these strong social networks is mentally debilitating. What they have found in the brains of people who report greater social isolation is higher levels of cortisol, which is the stress hormone. And cortisol, when it stays in your system, is toxic and will advance the symptoms of Alzheimer's. And so maintaining a strong social network is a strong preventative.
So use your brain and have friends.
Exactly. And maintain those friends and nurture those relationships and weed out the irrelevant commitments in your life so that you make time for the priorities, which are maintaining those close relationships, whether it's with your grandchildren or your friend that you go have a latte with or whoever it is. Make time for those relationships.
I believe certainly the first thing, because I've got experience with it in the last several years, Pierce, about using your brain. Until I started doing my show, I mean, I was pretty active in the marketplace, but I wasn't managing hundreds of relationships and all the different levels of activity that I am now as I in my role as the small business advocate. And I actually, before I started doing this, I actually was getting concerned about my own memory.
Mm-hmm.
But since I've been doing this, my memory has improved.
Oh, yeah. Use it or lose it.
And I don't just mean, I mean my ability to remember things has improved. And to keep up with a lot of different things, you know, a lot of different pieces of information about lots of other people. And I agree with you. I completely believe that the brain, I hadn't thought about it being auto-regenerative, but I did believe that it was a muscle you could flex and that you could build.
It's apparently not, unless Alzheimer's, for example, is extremely advanced.
Right.
It's never too late to start reaping the benefits of continual learning and aerobic exercise and proper diet and all of these things that we know are good for the brain.
Well, it's like what we've learned about the lungs. People who stop smoking, their lungs start regenerating and getting healthier immediately.
That's true.
Yeah. The damage that's been done, they can't reverse that. But it can, you know, start building on the good tissues. Pierce, give us your website, please.
It's www.syntax. CENTACS.com.
Syntax.com with a C, and the book is called The Owner's Manual for the Brain. You can find out more about it and their other book, The Owner's Manual for Personality at Work, online at the bookstores online or your local bookstore or at Syntax.com. Quick break, 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. We'll be right back with Pierce Howard. Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend, Pierce Howard, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, one of the smartest guys I know, and you'd expect that from a guy who wrote a book called The Owner's Manual for the Brain. It's not presumptuous at all for him to say that, because he is a brain expert. He's pretty brainy himself. And folks, I encourage you to check out their website. That's Syntax, CENTACS.com. You got a lot of helpful things there on that site, don't you, Pierce?
Yes, most of it relates to five-factor model of personality.
Which every small business owner needs to have. Now, folks, I want you to have the Owner's Manual for the Brain. I think you'll enjoy reading it. It's so big, you don't want to read it like a novel. You want to use it like an encyclopedia. But the Owner's Manual for Personality at Work, every small business owner should have that on their desk, not in their books, on their bookcase. This will help you with your businesses and help you to hire the right people and keep good people on board. Okay, Pierce, let's get back to our own brains. Tell us more about that.
Well, we were looking at some of the top 10 ways to keep your brain in good shape. And the first two that we mentioned were maintaining a strong network of friends and relations. And the second one was to continue to use the brain to learn new things. Some of the other more common everyday ones are to have a preference for aerobic exercise, brisk walking, jogging or running, bicycling, stair-stepping, swimming, all of those that exercise the large body muscles mm-hmm. for 30 minutes or so. That kind of aerobic exercise is clearly it produces what we call neurotrophins, which are like a fertilizer for the brain. They're a growth factor. They produce neurotrophins in a way that anaerobic exercise doesn't. It not only is it good for brain growth, it's also good for your heart. In fact, as a general principle, Jim, anything that's good for the heart is going to be good for the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Because the brain works with oxygen provided by the circulatory system. And without that oxygen and the energy provided through the blood flow to the brain doesn't work.
Right.
A fourth element that's extremely important is good air. That may sound a little silly, but a third of the population is sensitive to the depletion of negative ions in the atmosphere.
Hmm.
Negative ions are little particles that attach themselves to junk in the air, dust, smoke,
mm-hmm.
etc. They attach themselves and get heavy and float through the ground, and that purifies the air. And air conditioning, for example, it depletes the atmosphere of negative ions, and that's why you get sleepy. You don't get as good a supply of oxygen, hence you're not as alert. So what you need is either an ion generator or air freshener in your room, or you need to be able to open the window or at least to go walk outside for a few minutes every now and then. Every 2 or 3 hours. Like when I'm at the office, I'm at home right now, but when I'm at the office, I try to go outside and at least walk around the building 2 or 3 times
mm-hmm.
a day.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea.
Kind of get cleared out. So a fifth one has to do with taking breaks. In many states, there's a law that you have to take a break from work every 2 to 2.5 hours a month.
Right. You're entitled to a 15-minute break every half shift.
Yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not only is it legal, it makes good sense for the brain. We get fatigued. There's an estimate that we only use our brains for what we call effortful thinking about 15% of the time that we're awake. And the rest of the time, we're kind of on autopilot. We're doing things that are second nature to us. And we don't really have to work hard with our brains. But if we are having to learn something new, it's very fatiguing. Thinking last time you had to read a computer manual to learn how to use a program.
Oh,
you get a headache after about 15 or
20. I have a headache thinking about it.
But that's an example of ethical mm-hmm. thinking. It's struggling
right.
with something new, and it really
being creative.
Exactly.
And small business owners have to do that a lot.
They do, and they need to get away from it and come back to it fresh.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I recommend, this is another area, I recommend that every adult take a nap every afternoon for 5 to 10.
That's one of the reasons I've always liked you, Pierce, is because you tell me it's okay for me to take a nap. Hey, Pierce, we got 5 more to talk about. Will you come back and do those in a short while?
I'd love to.
Pierce Howard, ladies and gentlemen, he's the best. And Jane is too. Tell Jane we missed her.
I'll do it.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.